Good morning. It is great to be here back in Waverly. We've been here several times in the past to give reports, but it is a blessing to be here today. Thank you for the invitation and allowing us to come to speak with you today. In 1978, two boys in Los Angeles, California, found something that was buried in their yard. They found a Ferrari buried in their yard. I know that sounds crazy, but it's a true story. They actually found a Ferrari buried in their front yard. It was a 1974 Ferrari Dino 246 GTS, to be exact. And it was reported stolen in December of 1974. Apparently, the owner of the car had hired a couple of guys to steal it, and then the owner was going to turn it into the insurance company and pocket the money, which he did. And the two thieves stole the car. They were supposed to chop it up and sell the parts off and keep the money off the parts that they sold. But they just couldn't bring themselves to chop up this beautiful car, so they decided they were going to bury it. And they'd go back later, dig it up, and they'd have the car for themselves. Well, that didn't happen because obviously these two young men, they found this car instead. You know, and I got to thinking, what if there's something valuable in my yard? So I went looking through my yard to see if I could find anything of value. And all I found was a bunch of rocks. That, you know, and I found a rabbit in my yard. And I also found an old squirrel. And then I found a cat that really needed a bath. You know, but that's all I found in my yard. And it's true that most people don't find anything that's buried in their yard that's of great value. But Jesus told a parable about a man who did find something very valuable that was buried. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, if you will. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Jesus is telling a series of parables here. And I want to make note of this one in particular. It's just one verse, but he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, the purpose of this parable is pretty straightforward. The kingdom of God is very valuable. So valuable that we should be willing to give up everything that we have to be a part of it. In fact, Jesus tells a follow-up parable to this one in the next two verses. Look at Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So again, we learn from this second parable that the kingdom of heaven is priceless. It's valuable, something that is worth giving everything up for. So now, sometimes in the New Testament, the phrase kingdom of heaven refers to heaven itself, and sometimes it refers to Christ's spiritual kingdom here on earth, that is, the church. And in all honesty, it doesn't matter which one Jesus is referring to, because to be in that heavenly kingdom, we got to be a part of his spiritual kingdom, the church, here and now. And so the two, pretty much, you might think, are synonymous. They're not really synonymous, but they do go very much hand in hand. Now, let's go back to the first parable in verse 44. The thing about parables is they're fictional. They're made-up stories. But they're stories that Jesus told that we could actually imagine happening in everyday life. We could imagine somebody going out, finding this treasure buried in a field, and they rebury it, you know, hide it somewhere else on the property, and they would go and they would sell everything they got to come buy this land so they could have a right to that treasure that they had found on the land. And so this is just very much a hypothetical or a made-up story. But I do want to look at this hypothetically for a moment. This man found a treasure, a very valuable treasure. And he determined that it was worth selling every single thing that he had to be able to buy the land that had this treasure. Now, when Jesus said he sold everything, I think he meant he sold everything he had. He sold his house. He sold the land it was on. He sold his furniture, his clothes, his TV, his car, his four-wheeler, his truck. He sold everything he had to go buy this land because he figured that that treasure that was hidden there was worth more than everything he already had. And so he sold all that he had to buy this particular land. Now here's the hypothetical part. Once the man purchased the property, once he went and sold everything he had, he purchased the property, do you think he left that treasure buried in the ground? Now you got to consider, he sold everything he had. And the only thing he had now was a big wad of cash. And he goes and buys his property, and there goes all the cash. So now he has nothing except this land that he just bought. And what makes that land so valuable is what's buried in it, that treasure. So do you think he would buy that field and just leave the treasure buried in the ground? Well, of course not. He's going to dig it up. He's going to use it. He might sell it. He might do what, I don't know what kind of treasure it is, but he's going to do whatever he can to reap the rewards or the benefits of this particular treasure. Now, think about this. If he doesn't use that treasure, if he leaves it buried in the ground, then that treasure is worthless. Now you might say, no, it's still valuable. No, I want you to consider something. Some of you may know folks like this. They live in a house that's pretty run down, just barely kept up. They really don't have a whole lot, it looks like. You know, their clothes are just kind of, you know, a little bit better than rags. And, you know, they don't really eat real fancy. They don't live high on the hog. In fact, you might not think they have a dollar to their name. Their car is just barely kept up. And so when you look at them, you think, these folks don't really have much money. They just barely get by in life. And you come to find out, these folks actually have millions of dollars. And they never use it. And you think, boy, if I had that money, I just think of all the things I could do with those millions of dollars. But that's the thing. These people weren't using it. So that millions of dollars was worthless to them. It's not yours, so it's worthless to you. If this man leaves his treasure buried in the ground, then it is worthless. It has no value because it's simply just hidden because he did nothing with it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given a treasure. A treasure that is of tremendous value. In fact, it is truly priceless. We have the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. Do you ever think about that? That because you're a member of the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's church, that you have a treasure? Do you ever think about it that way? You know, when I think of treasure, I think of pirates. I think of a chest buried in the sand. Or I think of, you know, X marks the spot. But do we ever stop and think that being a part of the Lord's kingdom is a treasure in and of itself? But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus appoints 12 men to be his apostles. And he gives them a task to do. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Jesus names the 12 apostles. Verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, nor enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus wanted them to go about preaching the kingdom of heaven. As you're going around, preach this kingdom, folks. Tell people about this kingdom that for them was coming. Of course, for us, it has come when Jesus died on the cross. But he sent them out to do this. And notice the end of verse 8. He says, freely you have received, freely give. Don't hold back. This was a free gift to you. Freely give it to other people. People shouldn't have to drag it out of us. We shouldn't hold on to it like it's some kind of treasure that we want to hoard for ourselves. It's something he wants us to freely give to other people. And so Jesus had given them this message, and he says, freely give it. But why? Because they had this valuable message, this treasure, and if they didn't use it, then it would be worthless. Just like the man who buried the treasure in the ground, it was worthless to him if he didn't dig it up and use it. The kingdom of heaven is worthless to us and worthless to others if we do not use it and share it with them. And so, as we have received freely, let us give in the same way, freely. Those who are members of the kingdom of heaven today, Christians, have been given that same valuable message that the apostles were given, and the Lord wants us to freely give it to others, just as He wanted them to freely give it to others. But if you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. I know many of you know this by heart, and that's okay. I still want to look at it. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Some folks will say that this command was given only to the apostles. Not to us, not to every Christian, but simply to these 12 men. Actually, in that case, it'd be 11, because Judas wasn't there, was he? It was just given to them, not to us. Well, who did Jesus say to take the gospel to right here? He said to take it to every creature. Did the apostles do that? The answer is no. Now, some folks want to turn to Colossians 1, verse 23, and they say, "Well, right here it just says that everybody in the world heard the gospel." But I want you to step back a moment. If Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, as well as Matthew 28, if it was given only to the apostles, only to the apostles, then you need to understand where you have to take that to its logical end. In Acts chapter 8, we read that persecution arose against the church. And as a result of this persecution, everybody up until that point who'd been converted to Christ was living in Jerusalem. But when this persecution arose, the people were scattered. All these Christians scattered everywhere except, verse 1 says, the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. But verse 4 of Acts chapter 8 says, "Now as they went," that's all these Christians except the apostles, "as they went, they preached to the people." Philip is among one of those. We read about Philip in the rest of Acts chapter 8. Philip preaches to a group of folks. He preached to a man, particularly Simon, who was a sorcerer. But people listened to Philip preaching about Jesus, about the kingdom, and people were baptized. They were converted to the Lord. Now, folks, if we take this belief that the Great Commission was only for the apostles, if we take that to its logical conclusion, then the apostles had to come right behind Philip and preach the gospel again. Because if they didn't do that, then they would not have preached to every creature. Does that make sense? That the apostles have to come right behind all those folks who were scattered and re-preach what they had already preached? Doesn't make any sense, does it? This command was not given just to the apostles. It was given to everyone. And there's a second reason why we know this is given to everyone. Are there creatures alive today? Some of you are looking at me saying, "Well, you're a pretty strange creature yourself." Yes, there are creatures alive today. There's a bunch of creatures in this building right now. We're all creatures. We're created beings of God. Were you alive 2,000 years ago to hear one of the apostles preach? My children think I'm pretty old, but I'm not that old. But, you know, none of us are around back then to hear the apostles preach. None of the apostles are still alive today to preach to us. So what does that mean? That means the Great Commission is still standing, folks. There are creatures on this planet who need to hear the gospel. And we've been given that treasure to share with the people of this world. I appreciate Waverly Congregation. I appreciate you and your emphasis on missions. This morning during Bible class, we're listing off all the different works you're involved in, and it's wonderful. It truly is amazing all the things that you folks in this congregation are able to be a part of. Some of those things I like to be part of myself, just to be honest with you, but that's the missionary in me. And anyway, but it's wonderful that you're doing this. Wonderful you're putting this emphasis on missions. And it's wonderful to understand that the gospel needs to be taken to every creature, including all those who have yet to hear it. And we need to send folks. But not just that. We need to take this responsibility upon ourselves. We have that same treasure given to the missionaries. We have that same treasure given to the apostles. And if we don't use that treasure, then it is worthless. We need to share this. Because one of the special things about this treasury is the more you share it, the more valuable it gets. And so God wants us to take His word to folks today. And we can take the gospel to people today. And we can tell them that the kingdom of heaven is very much a reality, and that it is here, and that we can anticipate the heavenly one that will eventually come when Jesus returns. But not if we choose to do nothing with it. If we choose to do nothing with this treasure we've been given, then we are depriving folks of the opportunity to take part in that treasure themselves. We're depriving folks the opportunity to reach heaven if we hold on to that treasure for ourselves. Missionaries, they feel that burden. They feel that call, if you will, to go and share this treasure, this gospel of the kingdom with others. And they need our support. They need our encouragement to do that. But do you feel that same burden to take the gospel to others? Do you feel that? You may not be able to go overseas, but can you go across the street? Can you do that? Can you go to your neighbor's house? Can you go to your coworker? Can you go to your friends? Can you go to your family? Can you pick up a phone and talk to them? Can you write a message, text it to them, send it over the computer, write a letter to them? Can you do any of these things? We all can, can't we? But do we? That's the question. Do we? We can, but do we? Do we use this treasure that God has given to us? Or do we simply keep it buried to where it's of no value to anybody? It's great that you want to send missionaries around the world, but who will the Lord send to go around Waverly and Humphreys County? He will send those who have that treasure, the kingdom of heaven. He will send you. He has sent you to go and preach to these creatures. He sent you to share this treasure with the people around you. And He sent me to share that treasure with those around me. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest evangelists of all time. And he was never content in keeping that treasure to himself. He always felt the need to share it with others. Why don't we have that same passion? It's the same treasure. Why don't we have that same passion? Perhaps when we wake up in the morning, we think about our prayers and we're praying for our day. Perhaps we need to start off by praying for ourselves, that we will have a passion, a fire to share this treasure with others. And that God will open up our individual eyes to see the opportunities He's put in front of us. And may we be prepared for those opportunities and not let them slip by. Let's share that treasure. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we'd love for you to become one. Yes, we will rejoice. There will be rejoicing in heaven, but we don't want you to do it for us. We want you to do it for you. This is a tremendous treasure that God has provided for everybody, and you can have that same treasure. And we want you to have it. God wants you to have it. In fact, He wants you to have it so badly that Jesus died for you to have it. And maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe you're thinking about becoming a Christian. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe you just need to talk with somebody. I want to encourage you this morning to please talk to somebody here, myself or anybody else that you see here, and just let them know, I'd like to study with you. We will not put pressure on you. We will not force you to do anything. All we will do is we will open up the Bible, the Word of God, and we will share with you what God has said in His Word. We'll give you this information, and then it's up to you to make a choice. We're not going to twist your arm or anything, but we'll just simply give you this information and let you make that choice for yourself. You don't have to come forward when we give the invitation. You can ask somebody now, ask somebody after services, whenever. Just please ask, because we would love to help you to know more about this treasure. But maybe this morning you are ready to become a Christian. Maybe you're ready to take part in that treasure, to receive it. To receive it, the Bible says that we have to believe in who Jesus is. Now, we're going to talk about the gospel this afternoon, so I hope you're here to hear that. But just to give you a brief synopsis of it, we've got to hear what God says about Jesus, because He is our Savior. And we've got to believe in that Savior, but we've got to be willing to turn our lives over to Him. We can't keep living the way we've been living and please God. We've got to live God's way to please God. Folks, it is God's kingdom. He owns it. It's His. He is the one who determines how we get into that kingdom. And we just got to do it His way. And so we have to turn our lives over to Him. The Bible calls that repenting. That means we stop living for ourselves, living in a way that doesn't please God, and start living in a way that does please God. Start living for Him. And we got to be willing to make that confession known through our mouths and through our lives. It's not enough to say, I'm a Christian, and then live like a devil. We've got to say, I'm a Christian, and live like a Christian. I believe in Jesus. He is my Lord. And we've got to show people through our lives and through our words that He truly is our Lord. But the moment all of this takes place, that the treasure is given to us, happens when we are born again. When that old person is done away with, and that new person who's been created anew in Christ comes out. John chapter 3 says that when we are born of water and the Spirit, we are born again. But how are we born of water and the Spirit? Well, I believe Acts chapter 2 verse 38 tells us exactly how that's done. Peter had preached to the people there about Jesus, about how He had died for them and how He had raised from the dead. And then Peter says, let every one of you, he says, first of all, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it is, the water, baptism, and there's the Spirit. When we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we receive that blessing of forgiveness, and we receive that treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Because as Acts 2 verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church, to His spiritual kingdom daily, those who are being saved. And so if we want that treasure, then that's what we need to do. But again, if you have questions, you want to know more about that, please feel free to ask us. We'd be more than happy to sit down with you. But maybe you are a Christian. Maybe something was said this morning that has made you think. Maybe you've been hiding that treasure. Maybe you've been keeping a hold of it and not sharing it with others. I hope that hits you right in the heart. I hope it makes you feel guilty. I hope it makes you feel bad. Because we should feel bad. When we hold on to such a valuable treasure that God has given to us to give to humanity, and we're hoarding it for ourselves, we should feel bad about that. And maybe you'd think that you need to come forward this morning and ask for prayers for forgiveness and prayers to help you to be more sharing of that treasure. But we certainly want to pray for you. We are here as a family of God, and as a family we want to help each other get to heaven. So if you as a brother or sister need prayers, we want to pray for you that God will help you. We're going to sing the song of invitation in just a moment. And if you want to respond, we invite you to come forward for that. If you need to talk with somebody afterwards, please don't be afraid to do that. As I tell people, I don't bite. I might lick a little bit, but I don't bite. I'm just joking. But I do want to talk with you. I do want to share that treasure with you. And there are folks here who want to share that treasure as well. But if you need to respond right now, please come now as we stand, as we sing.
This has been the worship services of the Waverly Church of Christ. Your speaker this morning, Brother Martin Clam, missionary from Bonaire. Your song leader, Lynn Killebrew. Join us each Sunday at this time for this broadcast. It originated live and was sponsored by the Waverly Church of Christ, located 438 West Main Street in Waverly, Tennessee. And from there, we bid you a very pleasant good morning.